Chapter 25. Changes in the value of money. The quantity theory of money and its variants. Page 189. Meaning of value of money. By value of money is meant the purchasing power of money over goods and services in a country. What a rupee can buy in India represents the value of money of the rupee. Thus, the phrase value of money is a relative concept which expresses the relationship between a unit of money and the goods and services which can be purchased with it. This shows that the value of money is related to the price level because goods and services are purchased with a money unit at given prices. But the relation between value of money and price level is an inverse one. If capital V represents the value of money and capital P the price level, then V is equal to 1 upon P. When the price level rises, the value of money falls and vice versa. Thus, in order to measure the value of money, we have to find out the general price level. The value of money is of two types, the internal value of money and the external value of money. The internal value of money refers to the purchasing power of money over domestic goods and services. The external value of money refers to the purchasing power of money over foreign goods and services. Fisher's quantity theory of money, the cash transactions approach. The quantity theory of money states that the quantity of money is the main determinant of the price level or the value of money. Any change in the quantity of money produces an exactly proportionate change in the price level. In the words of Irving Fisher, other things remaining unchanged, as the quantity of money in circulation increases, the price level also increases in direct proportion and the value of money decreases and vice versa. If the quantity of money is doubled, the price level will also double and the value of money will be one half. On the other hand, if the quantity of money is reduced by one half, the price level will also be reduced by one half and the value of money will be twice. Fisher has explained his theory in terms of his equation of exchange. Pt is equal to mv plus m dash v dash, where p is equal to price level, or 1 upon p is equal to the value of money, m is the total quantity of legal tender money, v is the velocity of the circulation of m dash is the total quantity of credit money, v dash is the velocity of circulation of m dash, and capital T, the total amount of goods and services exchanged for money or transactions performed by money. This equation equates the demand for money, Pt, to the supply of money, mv equal to m dash v dash. The total volume of transactions multiplied by the price level, Pt, represents the demand for money. According to Fisher, Pt is summation pq. In other words, price level P multiplied by quantity bought Q by the community, that is summation, gives the total demand for money. This equals the total supply of money in the community consisting of the quantity of actual money M and its velocity of circulation V plus the total quantity of credit money M dash and its velocity of circulation V dash. Page 190. Thus, the total value of purchases PT in a year is measured by MV plus M dash V dash. Thus, the equation of exchange is PT equal to MV plus M dash V dash. In order to find out the effect of the quantity of money on the price level or the value of money, we write the equation as P is equal to MV plus M dash V dash divided by T. Fisher points out that the price level P varies directly as the quantity of money M plus M dash, provided the volume of trade T and the velocity of circulation V V dash remain unchanged. The truth of this proposition is evident from the fact that if M and M dash are doubled while V V dash and T remain constant, P is also doubled, but the value of money I 1 upon P is reduced to half. Fisher's quantity theory of money is explained with the help of figure 1, in which there are two panels A and B. So let me try to explain the figure first. In panel A, we have money on the x-axis and price level on the y-axis. Then we have a straight line, function is P, which is a function of M. That is a straight line curve at an angle of 45 degrees. Now there are three points on the x-axis corresponding to M1, M2 and M4, such that M1 is less than M2 is less than M4. Corresponding to M1 is P1 price level, corresponding to M2 is P2 price level, and corresponding to M4 is P4 price level. The extension of this is a panel B, in which we have quantity of money on the x-axis and value of money on the y-axis. So this is a falling curve, that is a curve which is decreasing and going roundish. The curve is 1 upon P, which is a function of M. So again, if we look at the three points M1, M2 and M4 on the x-axis, corresponding values on the y-axis are 1 upon P, 1 upon P2 and 1 upon P4. Returning to the text, the panel A of the figure shows the effect of changes in the quantity of money on the price level. To begin with, when the quantity of money is M1, the price level is P1. When the quantity of money is doubled to M2, the price level is also doubled to P2. Further, when the quantity of money is increased fourfold to M4, the price level also increases by 4 times to P4. This relationship is expressed by the curve P is equal to F of M from the origin at 45 degrees. In panel B of the figure, the inverse relation between the quantity of money and the value of money is depicted, where the value of money is taken on the vertical axis. When the quantity of money is M1, the value of money is 1 upon P. But with the doubling of the quantity of money to M2, the value of money becomes 1 half of what it was before, that is 1 upon P2. And when the quantity of money increases by 4-fold to M4, the value of money is reduced to 1 upon P4. This inverse relationship between the quantity of money and the value of money is shown by a downward sloping curve, 1 upon P equal to F of M. Assumptions of the theory. Fisher's theory is based on the following assumptions. 1. P is a passive factor in the equation of exchange, which is affected by the other factors. 2. The proportion of M dash to M remains constant. 3. V and V dash are assumed to be constant and are independent of changes in M and M dash. 4. T also remains constant and is independent of other factors such as M, M dash, V and V dash. 5. It is assumed that the demand for money is proportional to the value of transactions. 6. The supply of money is assumed as an exogenously determined constant. 7. The theory is applicable in the long run. And 8. It is based on the assumptions of the existence of full employment in the economy. Criticisms of the theory. The fisherman quantity theory has been subjected to severe criticisms by economists. 1. Truism. According to Keynes, the quantity theory of money is a truism. Fisher's equation of exchange is a simple truism because it states that the total quantity of money, MV plus M dash V dash, paid for goods and services must equal their value PT. But it cannot be accepted today that a certain percentage change in the quantity of money leads to the same percentage change in the price level. 2. Other things are equal. The direct and proportionate relation between quantity of money and price level in Fisher's equation is based on the assumption that other things remain unchanged. But in real life, V, V dash and T are not constant. Moreover, they are not independent of M, M dash and P. Rather, all elements in Fisher's equation are interrelated and interdependent. For instance, a change in M may cause a change in V. Page 191. Consequently, the price level may change more in proportion to a change in the quantity of money. Similarly, a change in P may cause a change in M. A rise in the price level may necessitate the issue of more money. Moreover, the volume of transactions T is also affected by changes in P. When prices rise or fall, the volume of business transactions also rises or falls. Further, the assumptions that the proportion M dash to M is constant has not been borne out by facts. Not only this, M and M dash are not independent of T. An increase in the volume of business transactions requires an increase in the supply of money, M and M dash. 3. Constants relate to different time. Professor Halm criticizes Fisher for multiplying M and V because M relates to a point of time and V to a period of time. The former is a static concept and the latter a dynamic. It is therefore technically inconsistent to multiply two non-comparable factors. 4. Fails to measure value of money. Fisher's equation does not measure the purchasing power of money but only cash transactions, that is, the volume of business transactions of all kinds, or what Fisher calls the volume of trade in the community during the year. But the purchasing power of money or value of money relates to transactions for the purchase of goods and services for consumption. Thus, the quantity theory fails to measure the value of money. 5. Weak theory. According to Crowther, the quantity theory is weak in many respects. First, it cannot explain why there are fluctuations in the price level in the short run. Second, it gives undue importance to the price level, as if changes in prices were the most critical and important phenomena of the economic system. Third, it places a misleading emphasis on the quantity of money as the principal cause of changes in the price level during the trade cycle. Prices may not rise despite increase in the quantity of money during depression, and may not decline with reduction in the quantity of money during boom. Further, low prices during depression are not caused by shortage of quantity of money, and high prices during prosperity are not caused by abundance of quantity of money. Thus, the quantity theory is at best an imperfect guide to the causes of the trade cycle in the short period, according to Crowther. 6. Neglects interest rate. One of the main weaknesses of Fisher's quantity theory of money is that it neglects the role of the rate of interest as one of the causative factors between money and prices. Fisher's equation of exchange is related to an equilibrium situation in which rate of interest is independent of the quantity of money. 7. Unrealistic assumptions. Keynes, in his general theory, severely criticized the fisherman quantity theory of money for its unrealistic assumptions. First, the quantity theory of money is unrealistic because it analyzes the relation between M and P in the long run. Thus, it neglects the short-run factors which influence this relationship. Second, Fisher's equation holds good under the assumption of full employment, but Keynes regards full employment as a special situation. The general situation is one of underemployment equilibrium. Third, Keynes does not believe that the relationship between quantity of money and the price level is direct and proportional. Rather, it is an indirect one via the rate of interest and the level of output. According to Keynes, so long as there is unemployment, output and employment will change in the same proportion as the quantity of money. And when there is full employment, prices will change in the same proportion as the quantity of money. Thus, Keynes integrated the theory of output with the value theory and monetary theory and criticized Fisher for dividing economics into two compartments with no doors and windows between the value theory and the theory of money and prices. 8. V not constant. Further, Keynes pointed out that when there is under-employment equilibrium, the velocity of circulation of money V is highly unstable and would change with changes in the stock of money or money income. Thus, it was unrealistic for Fisher to assume V to be constant and independent of M. 9. Neglects store of value function. Another weakness of the quantity theory of money is that it concentrates on the supply of money and assumes the demand for money to be constant. In other words, it neglects the store of value function of money and considers thus the theory is one-sided. 10. Neglects real balance effect. Don Patinkin has criticized Fisher for failure to make use of the real balance effect, that is, the real value of cash balances. A fall in the price level raises the real value of cash balances, which leads to increased spending and hence to rise in income, output and employment in the economy. According to Patinkin, Fisher gave undue importance to the quantity of money and neglects the role of real money balances. 11. Static. Fisher's theory is static in nature because of its such unrealistic assumptions as long run, full employment, etc. It is therefore not applicable to a modern dynamic economy. Page 192. The Cambridge equations, the cash balances approach. As an alternative to Fisher's quantity theory of money, Cambridge economists Marshall, Pigou, Robertson and Keynes formulated the cash balances approach. Like value theory, they regarded the determination of value of money in terms of supply and demand. Robertson wrote in this connection, "Money is only one of the many economic things. Its value, therefore, is primarily determined by exactly the same two factors as determine the value of any other thing, namely the conditions of demand for it and the quantity of it available. The supply of money is exogenously determined at a point of time by the banking system. Therefore, the concept of velocity of circulation is altogether discarded in the cash balances approach because it obscures the motives and decisions of people behind it. On the other hand, the concept of demand for money plays the major role in determining the value of money. The demand for money is the demand to hold cash balances for transactions and precautionary motives. Thus, the cash balances approach considers the demand for money not as a medium of exchange but as a store of value. Robertson expressed this distinction as money on the wings and money sitting. It is money sitting that reflects the demand for money in the Cambridge equations. The Cambridge equations show that given the supply of money at a point of time, the value of money is determined by the demand for cash balances. When the demand for money increases, people will reduce their expenditures on goods and services in order to have larger cash holdings. Reduced demands for goods and services will bring down the price level and raise the value of money. On the contrary, fall in the demand for money will raise the price level and lower the value of money. The Cambridge cash balances equations of Marshall, Pigou, Robertson and Keynes are discussed as under. Marshall's equation. Marshall did not put his theory in equation form, and it was for his followers to explain it algebraically. Friedman has explained Marshall's view thus. As a first approximation, we may suppose that the amount one wants to hold bears some relation to one's income, since that determines the volume of purchases and sales in which one is engaged. We then add up the cash balances held by all holders of money in the community and express the total as a fraction of their total income. Thus we can write M is equal to small k p y, where M stands for exogenously determined supply of money, K is a fraction of the real money income within bracket PY which people wish to hold in cash and demand deposits, P is the price level and Y is the aggregate real income of the community. Thus, the price level P is equal to M upon small KY or the value of money. The reciprocal of price level is 1 upon P is equal to small KY divided by M. Pigou's equation. P P.G. was the first Cambridge economist to express the cash balances approach in the form of an equation. P is equal to small k r upon m, where P is the purchasing power of money or the value of money, the reciprocal of the price level. Small k is the proportion of total real resources or income r which people wish to hold in the form of titles to legal tender, and r is the total resources expressed in terms of wheat or real income, and m refers to the number of actual units of legal tender money. The demand for money, according to PGO, consists not only of legal money or cash but also bank notes and bank balances. In order to include bank notes and bank balances in the demand for money, PGO modifies his equation as P equal to small k r divided by m multiplied by curly bracket c plus h small bracket 1 minus c end of small bracket end of curly bracket, where c or small c is the proportion of total real income actually held by people in legal tender, including token coins. 1 minus small c is the proportion kept in bank notes and bank balances, and small h is the proportion of actual legal tender that bankers keep against the notes and balances held by their customers. Page 193. PGO points out that when small k and r in the equation P equal to small k r upon m and k, r, c and h are taken as constants, then the two equations give the demand curve for legal tender as a rectangular hyperbola. This implies that the demand curve for money has a uniform unitary elasticity. This is shown in figure 2, where D1 is the demand curve for money and Q1, M1, Q2, M2 and Q3, M3 are the supply curves of money drawn on the assumption that the supply of money is fixed at a point of time. To explain the figure, we have money demanded and supply on the x-axis and value of money on the y-axis. So we have a D1 demand curve, which is very nearly a straight line and a downward curve as we move along the x-axis. There are three other curves, Q1, Q2, Q3, which are straight lines at point M1, M2 and M3 respectively. So Q1, M1, Q2, M2 and Q3, M3 are straight lines parallel to the y-axis. P1, P2 and P3 are the points on the y-axis corresponding to the intersection of the D1 D curve with Q1, Q2, Q3 curves respectively. Going back to the text, the value for money or PGO's purchasing power of money P is taken on the vertical axis. The figure shows that when the supply of money increases from OM1 to OM2, the value of money is reduced from OP1 to OP2. The fall in the value of money by P1, P2 exactly equals the increase in the supply of money by M1, M2. If the supply of money increases 3 times from OM1 to OM3, the value of money is reduced by exactly 1/3 from OP1 to OP3. Thus, the demand curve for money DD1 is a rectangular hyperbola because it shows changes in the value of money exactly in reverse proportion to the supply of money. Robertson's equation. To determine the value of money or its reciprocal, the price level, Robertson formulated an equation similar to that of PGO. The only difference between the two being that instead of PGO's total real resources R, Robertson gave the volume of total transactions capital T. The Robertsonian equation is M equal to P small k T, or P is equal to M upon small k T, where P is the price level, M is the total quantity of money, small k is the proportion of the total amount of goods and services, capital T, which people wish to hold in the form of cash balances, and capital T is the total volume of goods and services purchased during a year by the community. If we take P as the value of money instead of the price level as in PGO's equation, then Robertson's equation exactly resembles PGO's P equal to KT upon M. Keynes's equation. Keynes, in his A Tract on Monetary Reform 1923, gave his real balances quantity equation as an improvement over the other Cambridge equations. According to him, people always want to have some purchasing power to finance their day-to-day transactions. The amount of purchasing power or demand for money depends partly on their tastes and habits and partly on their wealth. Given the tastes, habits and wealth of the people, their desire to hold money is given. This demand for money is measured by consumption units. A consumption unit is expressed as a basket of standard articles of consumption or other objects of expenditure. If small k is the number of consumption units in the form of cash, small n is the total currency in circulation, and small p is the price for the consumption unit, then the equation is small n is equal to small p into small k. If k is constant, a proportionate increase in n or the quantity of money will lead to a proportionate increase in small p, that is price level. This equation can be expanded by taking into account bank deposits. Let k dash be the number of consumption units in the form of bank deposits and r the cash reserve ratio of banks. Then the expanded equation is small n is equal to small p into within bracket k plus r k dash, end of bracket. Again, if k and k dash and r are constant, small p will change in exact proportion to the change in small n. Keynes regards this equation superior to other cash balances equations. The other equations fail to point how the price level small p can be regulated. Since the cash balances k held by the people are outside the control of the monetary authority, p can be regulated by controlling n and r. It is also possible to regulate bank deposits small k dash by appropriate changes in the bank rate. So small p can be controlled by making appropriate changes in small n, small r and small k dash so as to offset changes in small k. Page 194. Criticisms of the cash balance approach. The cash balances approach to the quantity theory of money has been criticized on the following accounts. 1. Truisms. Like the transactions equation, the cash balances equations are truisms. Take any Cambridge equation, Marshall's, which is P is equal to M upon KY, or PGO's, P equal to KR upon M, or Robertson's, P is equal to M upon KT, or Keynes's, small p is equal to small n by k. It establishes a proportionate relation between quantity of money and price level. Note 1. Here all equations have been changed in terms of price level. 2. Price level does not measure purchasing power. Keynes, in his A Treatise on Money, 1930, criticized PGO's cash balance equations and also his own real balances equation. He pointed out that measuring the price level in wheat, as PGO did, or in terms of consumption units, as Keynes himself did, was a serious defect. The price level in both equations does not measure the purchasing power of money. Measuring the price level in consumption unit implies that cash deposits are used only for expenditure on current consumption. But in fact, they are held for a vast multiplicity of business and personal purposes. By ignoring these aspects, the Cambridge economists have committed a serious mistake. 3. More importance to total deposits. Another defect of the Cambridge equation lies in its applying to the total deposits consideration, which are primarily relevant only to income deposits, and the importance attached to small k is misleading when it is extended beyond the income deposits. 4. Neglects other factors. Further, the cash balances equation does not tell about changes in the price level due to changes in the proportions in which deposits are held for income, business and saving purposes. 5. Neglect of saving investment effect. Moreover, it fails to analyze variations in the price level due to saving investment inequality in the economy. 6. Small k and y not constant. The Cambridge equation, like the transactions equation, assumes small k and y or r or t are constant. This is unrealistic because it is not essential that the cash balance is k and the income of the people y should remain constant even during the short period. 7. Fails to explain dynamic behavior of prices. The theory argues that changes in the total quantity of money influence the general price level equiproportionally. But the fact is that the quantity of money influences the price level in an essential, erratic and unpredictable way. Further, it fails to point out the extent of change in the price level as a result of a given change in the quantity of money in the short period. Thus, it fails to explain the dynamic behavior of prices. 8. Neglects interest rate. The cash balances approach is also weak in that it ignores other influences such as rate of interest, which exerts a decisive and significant influence upon the price level. As pointed out by Keynes, the relation between quantity of money and the price level is not direct but indirect via the rate of interest, investment, output, employment and income. This is what the Cambridge equation ignores and hence fails to integrate monetary theory with the theory of value and output. 9. Demand for money not interest inelastic. The neglect of the rate of interest as a causative factor between the quantity of money and the price level led to the assumption that the demand for money is interest inelastic. It means that money performs only the function of medium of exchange and does not possess any utility of its own, such as store of value. 10. Neglect of goods market. Further, the omission of the influence of the rate of interest in the cash balances approach led to the failure of neoclassical economists to recognize the interdependence between the commodity and money markets. According to Patinkin, they laid an undue concentration on the money market, a corresponding neglect of the commodity market, and a resulting dehumanizing of the analysis of the effects of monetary changes. 11. Neglects real balance effect. Patinkin has criticized the Cambridge economists for their failure to integrate the goods market and the money market. This is borne out of the dichotomy which they maintain between the two markets. The dichotomization implies that the absolute price level in the economy is determined by the demand and supply of money, and the relative price level is determined by the demand and supply of goods. The cash balances approach keeps the two markets rigidly apart. For instance, this approach tells that an increase in the quantity of money leads to an increase in the absolute price level, but exercises no influence on the market for goods. This is because of the failure of the Cambridge economists to recognize the real balance effect. The real balance effect shows that a change in the absolute price level does influence the demand and supply of goods. The weaknesses of cash balances approach lies in ignoring this. Page 195. 12. Elasticity of demand for money, not unity. The cash balances theory establishes that the elasticity of demand for money is unity, which implies that the increase in the demand for money leads to a proportionate decrease in the price level. Patinkin holds that the Cambridge function does not imply uniform elasticity. According to him, this is because of the failure of the Cambridge economists to recognize the full implications of the real balance effect. Patinkin argues that a change in the price level will cause a real balance effect. For instance, a fall in the price level will increase the real value of cash balances held by the people. So when there is excess demand for money, the demand for goods and services is reduced. In this case, the real balance effect will not cause a proportionate but non-proportionate change in the demand for money. Thus, the elasticity of demand for money will not be unity. 13. Neglects speculative demand for money. Another serious weakness of cash balances approach is its failure to consider the speculative demand for money. The neglect of the speculative demand for cash balances makes the demand for money exclusively dependent on money income, thereby again neglecting the role of rate of interest and the store of value function of money. Transactions approach versus cash balances approach. There are certain points of similarities between Fisher's transactions approach and the Cambridge cash balances approach. These are discussed as under. 1. Similarities. The two approaches have the following similarities. 1. Same conclusion. The Fisherman and Cambridge versions lead to the same conclusion that there is a direct and proportional relationship between the quantity of money and the price level, and an inverse proportionate relationship between the quantity of money and the value of money. 2. Similar equations. The two approaches use almost similar equations. Fisher's equations P is equal to MV upon T is similar to Robertson's equation P is equal to M upon KT. However, the only difference is between the two symbols V and small k, which are reciprocal to each other. Whereas V is equal to mod of 1 upon small k, k is equal to mod of 1 upon V. Here, capital V refers to the rate of spending and small k, the amount of money which people wish to hold in the form of cash balances or do not want to spend. As these two symbols are reciprocal of each other, the differences in the two equations can be reconciled by substituting 1 upon V for small k in Robertson's equation and 1 upon k for V in Fisher's equation. 3. Money as the same phenomena. The different symbols given to the total quantity of money in the two approaches refer to the same phenomena. As such, MV plus M dash V dash of Fisher's equation, M of the equation of Pigou and Robertson, and small n of Keynes's equation refer to the total quantity of money. 2. Dissimilarities. Despite these similarities, the two approaches have many dissimilarities. 1. Function of money. The two versions emphasize on different functions of money. The Fisherian approach lays emphasis on the medium of exchange function, while the Cambridge approach emphasizes the store of value function of money. 2. Flow and stock. In Fisher's approach, money is a flow concept, while in the Cambridge approach, it is a stock concept. The former relates to a period of time and the latter to a point of time. 3. V and K different. The meaning given to the two symbols V and K in the two versions is different. In Fisher's equation, V refers to the rate of spending, and in Robertson's equation, small k refers to the cash balances which people wish to hold. The former emphasizes the transaction's velocity of circulation, and the latter the income velocity. Page 196. 4. Nature of price level. In Fisher's equation, P refers to the average price level of all goods and services, but in the Cambridge equation, P refers to the prices of final or consumer goods. 5. Nature of T. In Fisher's equation, T refers to the total amount of goods and services exchanged for money, whereas in the Cambridge version, it refers to the final or consumer goods exchanged for money. 6. Emphasis on supply and demand for money. Fisher's approach emphasizes the supply of money, whereas the Cambridge approach emphasizes both the demand for money and the supply of money. 7. Different in nature. The two approaches are different in nature. The Fisherian version is mechanistic because it does not explain how changes in V bring about changes in P. On the other hand, the Cambridge version is realistic because it studies the psychological factors which influence K. It is on account of these differences that Hansen wrote, "It is not true, as is often alleged, that the cash balance equation is merely the quantity theory in new algebraic dress." Superiority of cash balances approach over transactions approach. The Cambridge cash balances approach to the quantity theory of money is superior to Fisher's transaction approach in many respects. They are discussed as under. 1. Basis of liquidity preference theory of interest. The cash balances approach emphasizes the importance of holding cash balances rather than the supply of money which is given at a point of time. It thus led Keynes to propound his theory of liquidity preference and of the rate of interest, and to the integration of the monetary theory of value and output. 2. Complete theory. The cash balances version of quantity theory is superior to the transactions version because the former determines the value of money in terms of the demand and supply of money. Thus, it is a complete theory. But in the transaction approach, the determination of value of money is artificially divorced from the theory of value. 3. Discards the concept of velocity of circulation. The cash balances approach is superior to the transactions approach because it discards the concept of the velocity of circulation of money, which obscures the motives and decisions of people around it. 4. Related to the short period. Again, the cash balances version is more realistic than the transactions version of the quantity theory because it is related to the short period, while the latter is related to the long period. As pointed out by Keynes, in the long run, we may all be dead. So the study of the relationship between quantity of money and price level during the long run is unrealistic. 5. Simple equations. In the cash balances equations, transactions relating to final goods only are included, where P refers to the level of final goods. On the other hand, in the transactions equations, P includes all types of transactions. This creates difficulties in determining the true price level. Thus, the former equations are simpler and realistic than the latter. 6. New formulation in monetary theory. Further, the Cambridge equation regards the cash balances held by the people as a function of the level of income. The introduction of income Y or R or T in this equation against V, the velocity of circulation of money, in the transaction equation has made cash balances equation realistic and led to new formulations in monetary theory. It points out that changes in the level of money income can come about through changes in the price level, through changes in real output, or through both at once. 7. Explains trade cycles. Hansen regards small k in the Cambridge equation superior to V in Fisher's equation for understanding cyclical fluctuations. According to him, drastic and sudden shifts in the desire to hold money reflected in a change in small k may produce large and quickly moving changes in the level of income and prices. In the Cambridge analysis, a shift in k may start an upward or downward movement. For instance, when k, the fraction of total real income that people wish to hold in cash balances, increases because of low business expectations, the price level falls, and vice versa. 8. Study of objective factors. As a corollary to the above, V in Fisher's equation is mechanistic, while K in the Cambridge equation is realistic. The subjective factors behind variations in K have led to the study of such factors as expectations, uncertainty, motives for liquidity, and the rate of interest in modern monetary theory. In this sense, it can be justifiably said that the Cambridge equation moves us from the tautology represented by the equation of exchange to a study of economic behavior. Page 197. 9. Applicable under all circumstances. Fisher's transactions approach holds true only under full employment, but the cash balances approach holds under all circumstances, whether there is full employment or less than full employment. 10. Based on microfactors. The Cambridge version is superior to the Fisherian version because it is based on microfactors like individual decisions and behaviors. On the other hand, the Fisherian version is based on macrofactors like T, total velocity of circulation, etc. Exercises. Question 1. Critically examine Fisher's quantity theory of money. 2. Discuss the Cambridge cash balances approach to the quantity theory of money. How far is it superior to the cash transactions approach? 3. gives the similarities and dissimilarities of the quantity theory of money and Cambridge cash balances theory. 4. Write notes on A. Fisher's equation of balance, B. Keynes's real balance equation, and 5. What do you mean by value of money? What determines value of money according to Fisher? With this, we come to the end of chapter 25.